The last thing that I'd like to comment on, as far as pure and impure water, is that obviously you need to use pure water in order to purify something. And impure water will not purify something. And I think that concept is pretty straightforward. So if you have pure water, you can use it for wudu, you can use it to wash your clothing, you can use it to wash your ground, etc. If you have impure water, for example, some urine has been mixed into the water, you cannot use that to purify anything. That's a general principle within the Sharia. There's one major exception which I want to highlight. There is one type of water which is pure, but does not have the ability to purify. So normally water is both pure and it has the ability to purify. But there is one type of water that is pure, but it does not have the ability to purify. And that is the water that comes off the servant after they make wudu. So after you make wudu, the water that comes off your body is called ma al-musta'mal, used water. And used water, water which was used to purify something else, purify your body within the Sharia, cannot be used to purify anything else. And so you can think about it this way. You know, wudu is a great blessing, and we'll cover this in detail tomorrow morning. But when you do wudu, you wash away the sins of your hands with each drop of wudu, with each drop of the wudu water. It comes in hadith. When you wash your face, the sins of your eyes fall from that with that wudu water. When you wash your arms, the sins of your hands fall with that wudu water. When you wash your feet, the sins that you walk towards with your feet, they fall with that wudu water. So that water, spiritually, hukman, not truly, not haqiqatan, but hukman, spiritually has become impure. And in fact, the Sharia appreciates this and does not permit us to use ma al-musta'mal after somebody's used wudu. We cannot use that water to make wudu. So if somebody makes wudu over a bucket of water, and let's say he drops all of his wudu, the washing of his wudu into that bucket, I can't pass that bucket and tell you to make wudu from it. Now that water is still pure. If that water falls on my shirt, for example, I'm making wudu and drips of water fall on my shirt, that does not make my shirt impure. The water itself is pure, but it doesn't have the ability to further purify. In general, pure water purifies, impure water cannot be used to purify, and there is one type of pure water which also cannot be used to purify, and that is ma'al musta'mal, the used water that comes off the body part of a servant when they clean themselves in the state of wudu or ghusl, etc. So inshallah, let's stop there. Let me remind each and every one of us that these principles that are being highlighted, and I see most of you have notebooks anyway, but these principles that are being highlighted, this is compiled over years. I'm telling you, this has been compiled over years. In fact, the first time I studied Tahara, I looked at it and I said, you know, who's going to waste time on this stuff? Let's just get to the Salah. The Salah is the real issue. And I didn't like this subject at all. I didn't like studying Tahara at all. It was only after the third or the fourth time, and then spending time with people who are so particular about Tahara, that, you know, I was shocked and I began to realize the importance of Tahara. In fact, now Tahara is my favorite subject. Out of all the different books of fiqh, I find Tahara the most interesting because it teaches so many principles of the deen in and of itself. And actually, because when I began to be careful about my Tahara, that was when everything else slowly began to fall into place. So Tahara is essential. Tahara is essential. Take these matters seriously. Now what I'm presenting before you, I mean, this is knowledge from various ulama in Chicago, and then when I went to Syria, and then when I went to Pakistan, and then some of the ulama in South Africa. And so this is all compiled. Everything has been cut and it's shining. It's like a jewel. So now all you have to do is take it. My teachers used to yell at us. When we were in the dars in the madrasa, they used to say, the students sometimes wouldn't memorize a lesson. And they would say, we take the ingredients, we cook the halwa, we put it in your mouth, and we make you chew, and you still don't swallow. What's wrong with you people? And that's exactly the truth. I mean, our ulama, they took all the Quran and the hadith, which is the ingredients, and they mixed it into this beautiful halwa, this beautiful sweet. And then they came and they put it in our mouth. And then they made us chew by constantly repeating and inculcating these teachings, and the only thing is we keep coughing it up. We don't swallow it. So swallow it. Swallow it, you'll find a beautiful taste from it. So this is what you should is essential to our development, and you should keep this in mind. So keep a notebook, take careful notes, ask questions. The way you learn is by asking questions. Think about this, reflect on these issues, and then Go, you know, after you review your notes, come back and say, okay, I have this question. How does the Sharia look at this? Where did this come from? Where did that come from? This is all from Quran and Hadith. The ingredients are the Quran and the Hadith. The taste is different. It's much easier to swallow because it's already been processed and it's ready-made. So each of us should take a notebook, write down the points, memorize the basic essential points, and then begin to use them within your house. Think, okay, how can I purify my floor? Is my washing machine truly purifying? How will I purify my bed sheets, etc.? Apply these principles to your daily life, and inshallah, you'll notice a tremendous benefit. The last thing that I'd like to recommend, which I'm actually going to recommend every day, is based on a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is that if a person prays the Fajr prayer, and after the Fajr prayer remains busy in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subsequently, if they then stand up after sunrise and pray two rak'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the reward of a hajj and an umrah. This is a hadith from Imam Tirmidhi's book, and it's sahih, according to our ulama. There's no debate about this hadith. So we should really inculcate this hadith in these 10 days. We can make it so that we did 10 hajj and 10 umrah, one a day. What a great opportunity. You don't have to put out the $2,000 to $3,000. You don't have to get the visa. You don't have to get any shots. You don't have to get pushed back and forth by the hundreds of thousands of people, and you'll get the same reward, sitting comfortably in the masjid. Now these sessions, these are the remembrance of Allah. When we talk about Tahara, we are essentially talking about the Quran and the Hadith, what Allah commanded us and what He requests from us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. This is the way by which Allah begins to love you. If you become of the mutatahirin, then you attract the love of Allah. When you attract the love of Allah, we know from hadith, Allah calls out to the entire universe and tells the angels, tell the whole universe that I love this servant, so they should love him. Then the fish begin to make dua for you in the sea. The angels begin to make dua for you in the heavens. The animals of the earth begin to make dua for you. And the love and the people's hearts begin to turn towards you. This is dawah. There's two forms of dawah. One is to run around and bang on people's head with a hammer, except Islam. Another one is, let the angels take care of it. You do your job. Please Allah. Become one of the people who is loved by Allah. And the angels will command their heart. People will not have a choice but to come to your doorstep to accept this deen. So inculcate these principles. Take them seriously. They form an essential aspect of dawah. Everybody wants to talk about dawah nowadays. How are we going to do dawah? We have to do more dawah. Let's do this dawah. That. This is dawah. This is the essence of the dawah. When you inculcate this in your life, then inshallah, the rest of the universe will follow. So it has a huge effect. When you sit here and you learn, it has a huge effect. You don't affect yourself. You affect the whole universe. The whole universe is affected by your learning the principles of Tahara. If Allah decides that you are to become one of His loved servants, and He announces to the angels, and the angels scream through the universe that Allah loves this person, so you too love him, and it reaches the depth of the fish in the darkest corner of the ocean, we can't even see what's down there. When can you even go there? It's reaching the corners of the earth, the deepest points of the earth, places where no human has gone. The universe, the seven heavens, all of these begin to exclaim that Allah loves this servant, so you too love him. What choice do people have after that? If the universe, if this gets established within the precept of the universe, what choice do people have after that? So inculcate these principles of Tahara. Now inshallah, according to our schedule, this is the time for Salatul Ishraq. And again, Salatul Ishraq is that dua, is that salah which is made after the sun rises. It consists of two rak'ah, and it inshallah gives you the reward of a hajj and an umrah. So I'll ask each of you to perform that. Keep in mind also that these, after that is personal time. So use it in a way that you feel personally necessary. And again, I've told you yesterday, the schedule that we've established is a very, very carefully drawn out schedule. I've taken into account, based on what my teachers taught me, various aspects of your development. Some of it needs to be done in a group, okay? And some of it needs to be done alone. There's got to come that time where you sit down on the musalla by yourself and begin to beg from Allah. Nobody can do it for you. And so that personal time is for that. If you need to rest, rest your bodies. If you need to take care of something, take care of it during that time. So the time for classes, be in the class. The time for sleep, sleep. The time for eating, eat. If you put all this together, then inshallah you'll gain tremendous benefits over the few days. And I think just from the prayer last night, I'm sure that you felt the difference in your prayer last night and the prayer 3 days ago. And your ability, how easy it was for us to pray those extra prayers after, you know, Tarawih. I mean, I felt like there was just nur all over this place. Because you're just so easy. And that's because Allah begins to bless this environment and then you begin to change. 20 days of hard work from the beginning of Ramadan, the last 10 days you solidify it, and inshallah you'll reach new heights in your iman. So go ahead and pray Ishraq. If you want to use some of this time also to make up your previous qada prayers, as we've been doing, you can do that as well. And inshallah, then after that is personal time. And after that, there'll be dhuhr. The dhuhr adhan will be called, inshallah, a little bit earlier, hopefully, so that we can get up, if anybody's sleeping, and begin to make wudu. Keep in mind that we should stagger ourselves when we make wudu. And then finally, after the dhuhr prayer, between dhuhr and asr, that'll be a time for tilawa of the Qur'an. Time to spend time with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين